Can you consider yourself disclaimed?
Yes.
Everything I'm telling you today is my experience from the last probably 30 years. It all worked for me. I can't make any guarantees about whether it'll work for you at all, but I hope you can use it and make an insane amount of profit. Pay taxes as appropriate. Seek legal, professional, mental, and other advice as needed. Okay? Are we good with that? Disclaim. If I said the statement that money is everywhere, would you believe me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Want me to prove it right now?
Yes.
See, I told you to sit up front, Linda. I told you. Now, are y'all awake now? You wish you still want to sit in the back? Because let me show you. I got more. You sure you want to sit in the back? Oh, you like plastic? I got 12 credit cards. You sure you want to sit in the back? Okay. All the learning happens in the front, just saying. All right. If you haven't figured out, I like engagement from the crowd. You'll remember maybe half of this after I'm done talking. You should have a handout. Looks like you do. If you need a pen, we got pens in the back. The handout is for you. I probably shouldn't tell you, but there's actually two different versions of the handout because it really doesn't matter. The handout is for you to help with your mindset today. Raise your hand if you need a handout. He's got more. Linda needs one up here. This is what I like to review right before I go in and talk to a new lender. Now, I'm going to say bank today, but to be quite frank, it could be a mortgage broker. It could be any of these money people out here in the hall. It could be a private lender. All these tactics I'm going to talk to you about today work with any kind of lender, because if you can sell yourself to a bank and they agree to it, everyone else will be easier. Because the banks have certain rigid guidelines because they're regulated by the feds. All these others are regulated by different state, maybe federal, but the banks are the highest standard. So if you can master this, you can throw money up in a room and go get more. Just hit your line of credit. Get it anywhere you want. It's no real problem at all. But I have surveyed folks, and 100% of people that are not engaged and bored hate it. So I don't want you to be bored today. I want you to be energized and engaged with me. Are you okay if I ask for some feedback to give me some?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Now, the great news is I know we lost a couple minutes at the beginning, but I have a clock, and when this gets to high noon, I will stop. So we will end on time, because that's who I am. I keep my promises. I'm going to talk to you about that today. Are there any lenders in the room? Well, let's just say for fun, Jim, you're a lender. How much money you got to lend? Give me a round number.
$1 million.
$1 million. Who else raised their hand? How much you got? $8 million.
No. Who? Yeah.
8,000?
80.
80,000. Okay. Who else? How much?
100K.
Who else?
60,000.
60K. Who else?
600,000.
600K. Okay. Who else? 150K or 150 million? Dude, I was in a room. Well, it was in New Jersey. Somebody said $150 million.
$2.
$2 because you picked it up off the floor. Yeah, why don't you do a margin loan on that, too? You could expand it just like the feds do. Anybody else?
$40,000.
All right, how much does all that add up to?
A lot.
A fair chunk. How much do you need for your deals? Less than that.
All of it.
Yeah, Ed needs all of it up here. That's just in the room, and that's not counting the people that were shy and didn't want to say anything, because I was one of those. I wouldn't say that. Why? What business is it of yours? Sometimes people are private about that stuff. People walking around this place have money. All sorts of people have money, or they have access to money. How many of you have a W-2 job or a 1099 for at least 2 years? You're already halfway there. Somebody yesterday said, I have trouble borrowing now that some certain unfortunate thing happened in his life. It wasn't bankruptcy. And I said, well, how long have you been doing your job? He said, 29 years. I said, there's no problem, because you've been in your trade of business more than 2 years. The banks love that. And if you haven't been, that's your first goal. Stay in your job for 2 years. Stay in your work for 2 years. Stay in your company for 2 years. Can you do that? Can you stick to something for 2 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's kind of, room's tough this morning, right? All right, here's your handout. Everybody got a handout? Make sure you do. Chris, you asked me for something. Sorry, just see you coming in. So make sure you got a handout. Now, Rebecca in the back is going to give you another handout a little bit later. So stick with me, because I'm all about interaction. My teaching style is what's called the PIE method, P-I-E, present, involve, and evaluate. Based on your interactions, what I say. Yes, I have something relatively memorized that I'll talk about, but depending on where the room is and your questions and answers that I asked you all ago and what we develop here as we talk, that's what we're going to talk about today. Because I already know this, and you want to hear it. So this is yours, so engage on this. Is that okay?
Yep.
Here's our agenda today. A little bit about money, how credit works, banking, borrowing, and I'll give you some shortcuts at the end. So what is money? Remember that group participation part? This is the beginning of it. Jazz, what is money? It's a currency. Jazz participated, he gets paid. Oh, now? Oh, yeah. What's money now? A means of exchange, yes, because you think this is worth something, correct? Now, these are $2 bills. I made these in my spare bedroom just the other day. They're fresh and clean and new, and on the back, there's some beautiful artwork of the signing of the United States Constitution. These are really gorgeous, and they're brand new, right from the feds. I didn't really make them in my bedroom. All right, what is money? A tool, yes. That's a good answer, isn't it? He should get paid. What else? It's a store of value. Okay, that's a good answer. Yeah, you should get paid.
Thank you.
Barter, okay, he said that. What else? New cats in the back want to jump in?
A lubricant.
Seeing as how this is being recorded, I will not repeat that because...
It's something to grease the wheels.
Grease the wheels, yeah. And if you're hearing this on recording and you're not here, that's your own sorry fault. You missed a great joke. All right, excellent. Is money also, store of value is closest to where I was headed next, but what is money these days? Is it really so much this, or is it something else made out of plastic? Could be ones and zeros in your bank account. Has anybody else checked their bank balance this morning to make sure nothing happened overnight that was bad? Is that really real money, or is it ones and zeros? It's ones and zeros. Money represents a promise. All those answers you said represent a promise. You think this has some value because other people think it has value. It's all promises. So I want you to keep that in mind today as we talk. The truth is you really don't want this when you think about it. You really want what money can do for you. You don't really use this to keep warm at night. I guess you could burn it, but you really want the electric that it can provide for you, and you want the heat, and you want the food for your belly. You want what money can do for you. So let's think about promises as we talk. Years ago, we had no credit bureaus. There was nothing except you did business with people that you knew, and think about how limiting that is. I live in Tennessee. What if I had to only do business with people in Nashville? Man, that would be so limiting. So in 1860 or so, what is now known as credit bureaus started happening, but it was the equivalent of a naughty list. If Ehor here had borrowed from me and done me wrong, I'll pay you, buddy. This is Ehor, my friend. If Ehor had done me wrong, I would put him on the naughty list, and the others would know not to loan to him locally. Well, that's just limiting because it's just us in town. So in 1899, the retail credit company, which is now Equifax, began. And now we have those big three credit bureaus that you know about. You see them on the screen?
Yeah.
Is that all the credit bureaus?
No.
No, there's eight, actually. I'm going to talk to you about six of them today. This is number four. This one, Innovis, and I put the city and state so you can make sure you found the right one if you chose to Google it. I'm going to give you a slide to take a picture of in a second. These folks make sure you are who you say you are. Today, we have something called synthetic identity fraud. It's a big problem. I can take your stolen social and your date of birth and your address and put them all together, and I just made a new person. And I can apply for credit three times in a row and get declines, and I've now put that new fake person into the credit system. People like Innovis make sure that gets detected. You want these people to have accurate info on you, don't you?
Yes.
But you didn't even know who they were. They know who you are. Next are these folks. This is the other credit score banks use on you. If you go to open up a bank account nearly anywhere in the United States in one of the 4,453 banks, you're going to have a check system to run on you. These folks keep up with it if you ever wrote a bad check. I mean, ever. Do not ever, ever write a bad check, because it will be on your permanent record with these people. You know, in school, you were told that. Don't misbehave, Jim, or you're going to have it on your permanent record. This is the permanent record. It's in Woodbury, Minnesota. Don't ever write bad checks. It's no bueno. These folks are the worst, or the best, depending on your point of view. All your good collection attorneys in your town are going to be subscribers to LexisNexis. A good attorney's right here. This is Jim Roberts, my friend, and Jim is nodding his head. Yes, LexisNexis. This is how we find tenants who owe us money. These folks now have two of your three credit bureau reports. They have Halloween opening the door over there. Thank you, Chris. They have your car wreck that you had a few years ago. They have all your speeding tickets. They have your glass break claim from where that rock hit your window and you thought it was free glass repair at Safe Light. It's on your LexisNexis. Go ask for your consumer disclosure like I did. Mine was 400 pages. I made them mail it to me. You should get yours too. It's called consumer disclosure. This is bonus. It's not on my notes, but since we're in it, I'm going to tell you. Consumer disclosure. By law, you're allowed to get it for free from all of these places. You should do it at least once a year. Did I mention the free part? It's free by law. Consumer disclosure. Congress did something right for you there. Now, the one thing you must do, in my humble opinion, right now, to protect yourself from fraudsters, predators, creditors, you want to know it? Freeze your credit. And I mean, you need to do this tonight. Now, here's your slide to take a picture of. These are the six credit bureaus. This is going to take you about an hour. You can do it all on the internet. This place where we are right now has open, unsecured internet. I don't necessarily recommend you do this here on their open internet, unless you're using a VPN at your discretion, because you're going to be putting in your social, date of birth, where you've lived the last 2 years, maybe some other info. You don't want to do that over open Wi-Fi, do you?
No.
No. Man, an hour, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't like doing a lot of work. Well, I don't want my name and reputation smeared, because remember, it's all about trust and promises, and it's what these people have in a database. And I want to make sure my information is protected. You want your information protected too, don't you?
Yeah.
So you got to do a little work for that these days. These are business tools that lenders, and frankly, everyone you work with, all your vendors, this is what they use to make sure you are who you say you are and you do what you say you do. Is that reasonable?
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt your flow, but what would a credit freeze do?
What would a credit freeze do? Anybody else want to hear that?
Yes.
Freezes your credit where no one can pull it. You can Google that and it'll give you more detail. But you mentioned something I skipped over on the work part. When you want to apply for credit, you have to go and unfreeze it. So a little bit extra work. But again, we lost 10 minutes at the beginning with the AB, so I'm going to keep rolling. Let me come back to that if we have time. I'll make sure we stay on time. So these tools are making sure you keep your promises. Are we back with that? Promises. What's today about? Make sure you keep your promises. Excellent. Now some credit score secrets. You want to hear that?
Yes.
Four people? Because I can tell you in the hall later. Who wants to hear this? Okay. All right. Good. That car payment you got really hurt your ability to borrow. Did you know that?
Yes.
The car payment not only hurts, but it hurts your ability to borrow. And here's why. It affects your required number of monthly payments, your required dollars. Because when you think about it, you owe all this stuff. Not just made up these numbers, of course, but look at this, $3,500 you owe. What if you make $5,000 a month? How much is available for you to pay a lender?
$1,500.
Well, what if you got rid of your car payment there for $500? You have how much more?
$500.
Does that allow you to do more deals?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little more. So, no car payment means more money available to do more deals, velocity of money and all that. It shows you're different, because how many people do you know that have no car payment? Yeah, aren't you kind of weird? if you don't have a car payment, because everybody's good at car payment, it shows you have discipline. So here are your action steps. I think you should reduce your required payments. Now, I'm not naming names in a bad way particularly, but Discover has a really high required minimum payment. So if you use Discover Card, you want to watch that, because theirs will be really high. Some of the others are not as high. But all those are added up by a lender, including your car payment, to see how much you have available when they're looking to loan you money. So that temporary sacrifice of no car payment might mean more burrs for you. And that over time may mean more money, more deals, more income. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Just credit cards. If there's zero balance, does that still...
Have you looked ahead at my next slide? That's a great question. So his question was, what about if I have zero balance on my credit card? Well, how about some legit things you can do right now to boost your credit score? It's an excellent question. This is it. You need to have the ideal credit mix. It is 3 to 5 major credit cards. Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover. No, that Target Red card is not helpful. In fact, it probably hurts you. Remember Pottery Barn? They were all out with those credit cards. That was a disaster for your credit. Don't get that stuff. You want a major credit card. 3 to 5. Now, yes, I've got 12 up here, but these all are for business, so that's a different story. So I'm talking about personal. 3 to 5 in your name, 3 to 5 in your spouse's name if you're married. I'll come to that more in a minute. So 3 to 5 major cards, 1 installment loan. What's an installment loan? Or the car payment I just told you not to have, right? Okay, but I'm defining the ideal credit mix. This is what the people that give the 850 credit score say. This is your ideal credit mix. 1 car payment, 1 house payment. That sounds normal, doesn't it? Most people walking around, they have some credit cards, car payments. Yeah, okay, it's fine. So how can you improve your score? Well, first you get that ideal credit mix, put all your bills on auto pay, which is where they come suck it out of your bank account once a month. And then in that bank account, have 30 days of expenses all in that account. So let's say your bills are $5,000 a month. How much should be in that account?
$5,000.
So if you have 1 bank account for that, and the banks do look at your average daily balance, you'd have just 1 big bill to pay. All you have to do at the first of the month, which is today, is put $5,000 in your account. And you're done. And everybody just comes and gets out what you owe throughout the month. Is that easy? Does that free up your mind to do other stuff?
Yes.
Now, what's one other really good thing about this?
You're never late.
Well, you're never late, so your credit's excellent. Okay, so 2 things. That was good. You deserve to get paid for what you've been through. That's a good answer. That is a good answer. Yes, you're never late.
Catch anomalies.
You can catch anomalies. Oh, that's good. Yeah, you deserve to get paid for this, too. Thanks for coming to class today. Have you made money in real estate yet? If not, now you have. Way to go. Way to go. I was talking about fraud a while ago. If you have 1 bank account where all your stuff's happening, anomalies, as you said, and a few of us have already checked this morning to look for anomalies in our trash bank account. That's what we call it in my house. I have the trash bank account. And if Jim is my attorney and I need to pay him because he's one of my vendors, he gets a check off my trash bank account. Why?
Because if it gets compromised, you can close it down.
If it gets compromised, I see it immediately because I check that each morning. Now, Calvin the painter, well, he drives a nice van that has paint stains and other things on it. And what is Calvin's data security policy as a painter? Do you think Calvin has a data security policy? Any of you in IT? Yeah, you're already getting it. PCI compliance, DSS, right. What? I know about Promar 200. I know about coatings on the walls. Do you think he cares about taking a picture of my check and then throwing it away in the trash can at the convenience store? Because I just paid Calvin, he signed the Lori, right, uh-huh. Because Calvin will do that. Take a picture and throw it away in the trash can at the MAPCO or the QT or the Shell. Or have you ever found people's stuff in the trash can?
Yep.
So me and Ed are the only two that go look in trash cans at convenience stores? Because I do. And if I go by an ATM and there's a receipt, I'm going to grab it and look at it. and see what's there. Then I'm going to tear it apart and throw it away because I'm just that kind of guy. Don't leave your data laying around because other people are doing it for you. So if you have one trash bank account, then you know where to watch for trouble. Was that a good tip right there?
Oh, yeah.
Because how often do you change bank accounts? Like, never, right? Who changes banks or bank accounts? So one trash bank account to pay all your bills. Personal, I have one trash bank account, and then business, I have another. This morning, I'm funding a deal, not in this state, and the money came out of that trash bank account. Because what if it gets compromised, as she said? I want to catch it right away, don't you? Do you know how fast a wire comes out of your bank account? Within an hour. Can you get that back if it's fraud?
No.
It is rough stuff.
Or
trash bank account. Now, who would like to hear the one thing I did to raise my credit score 25 points? Now, my credit score was already really high because I've been managing this for years. I didn't do this in a week. I've been doing this over time. So mine was really high. To go up 25 points is really hard to do. You sure you want to hear it?
Yes.
This goes to your question over here. He's writing and texting. You pay it down to zero. This is it. This is what I do right here. I pay all my bills to a dollar every Friday. I don't wait till it's due. Now I have mine on full auto pay, so if I have one of these credit cards right here, my little city card is in pay in full from my trash bank account when it's due. And I was doing that for years. But the first month, I started watching my credit report closely and my credit score closely. I paid them all to zero every Friday. Well, they're active cards, so I couldn't actually keep them to zero, so they had really low balances on there. So then I learned, well, paying to zero actually gets me no credit whatsoever because it's a zero and they may not even report it. So pay it to a dollar, not when it's due, and what they will report is that very low balance, and then my credit utilization is super low, below 3%. Now you might have heard 30, because that's another mark, 10% and 30%. Those are the three marks on your credit. So if you have $100,000 in credit, I'm saying the ideal is below 3%, $3,000. Now if that sounds hard to do, it's really not. So there's something to work on. So the action steps. Today is Friday?
Yep.
So today I need to pay all mine down to a dollar, not to zero, because what did I say? It would not report. So I'll do that today. Sometimes I do it Thursday night, sometimes I do it Friday morning. Is there anything significant about Friday? That's just when I remember to do it. If Tuesday's your day, go do it on Tuesday. But I do it every week. I don't care when the statement cycles cut off. I just do it Friday because I think about it Friday. I'm getting ready for the weekend. I don't know. Friday works for me. Pick a day that works for you. Does that work? Did I mention the 25-point bump in my credit score? In 30 days, that happened. Just like that, just from this tactic. Have you ever heard this before?
No.
Who's talking about it?
Nobody.
I guess nobody's figured it out. So, yes, Lori.
What's the significance of Friday?
Because I remember Friday. You could do Tuesday. I just remember Friday. There's nothing significant about Friday. All right, if you've got bad credit and you're trying to recover quickly, you can add someone as an authorized user to a good credit person's account. You all probably heard of that before. That's interesting. That's a quick fix. But any of your real lenders that are looking deeply into your credit report are going to catch that. So you'll hear that sold as an idea to boost your credit score. Yes. It can work, but they know that too. These people are not dummies. Now, one thing I don't like is that joint credit exists, and I have some friends who are about to get married, and they said, yeah, we're going to get joint credit cards in our name, because those are our married credit cards. Congress in 2009 passed the CARD Act. It's all capital letters because it stands for something. The CARD Act of 2009 made it where husband and wife cannot share the same credit file. Prior to that, if the husband worked outside the home and the wife worked in the home, and he had all the money and the income and the credit, she got credit for his credit file. Not after this. So here's what I suggest. Split it up. In our household, this is what we do, what we've done for a long time. She's got her credit, I got my credit. And never the two shall cross because of that Card Act of 2009. The utilities even are split up. She's got some in her name, I've got some in my name. What happens if I die? And I was the main one wheeling and dealing and doing all the business and running all the properties and running all the borrowing. Is she in trouble?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've got stuff in her name. She's got 3 to 5 cards in her name. She's got half the utilities. That's great. The utilities, this is the 7th credit bureau, not particularly relevant for this, but there's a 7th credit bureau called the Online Utility Exchange. So every time we make an on-time payment, it gets reported on her credit and mine with the Online Utility Exchange. Everyone is looking at you all the time. Have I sold you on that idea that that's true? Did you even know about Online Utility Exchange? And yet they're looking at you. I see one yes. Yeah, they're rare and unique, aren't they? Winterville, North Carolina is where they are. Yes, Lori.
What if you have 2 different card numbers for the same account? Is that...
What if you have 2 different card numbers with the same account?
Yes.
I'd need to see your credit bureau for that. It needs to be in your name as the primary user. And then Frank, I know her. Okay, so that's Lori. Lori's a great person. She does rehabbing. You should get to meet her. So Lori, it should be in your name. It could be a Chase Inc. card, let's say. And then if Frank has a Chase Inc. card separately in his own name, that would be ideal. Now, you can be an authorized user on each other, but I'm saying no joint.
Yeah, it's the same account, 2 different card numbers.
That's probably authorized user. One of you probably owns it or it's probably joint. So that's probably not ideal. So if you're looking to add new cards, you saw the 3 to 5 and you said, I've only got 2. Do you know how many cards you've got? You want to pull them all out now? Let's throw them all in the middle of the floor and see how much credit we got among us. If you need to add new cards, I just added a new one. I looked at our mix. So see which spouse needs the next new card. And don't forget sign-up bonuses, which are nice too. You get hundreds of dollars of free stuff just for signing up for a new card. So balance that between the two of you. It's an advantage if you're married because of that Card Act. So turn what's otherwise bad into something good. Yes?
The question is, do you want the 3 to 5 mix, the mix, should that be, could you have like 3 Visas or do you need to have...
So the 3 to 5, do they need to be all Visa or split or whatever? That's up to you. But it needs to be one of the major 4, Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover. Yes?
Okay. How much utilization do you have that they vote negatively?
Say it louder, I can't hear you. What's too much utilization? 50% is deadly. 30 is not good.
But
10 is better. 3 is the best.
Yes, I framed it wrong. How much credit is too much credit?
How much credit is too much credit? What's the answer to that?
None.
There's no limit. Get all you can.
Yeah.
And then when you think you got too much, go get some more. There's no limit. I promise you they will tell you when the limit is. I've got a card over here that's got an obnoxious limit. Every 6 months I keep asking for more limit. They ask for tax return transcripts. You will know when it is time. They will tell you. Just pick another vendor and go get some more.
And they won't look bad. That won't look negatively on you.
So that's not looked at negatively is the question she's asking. No. But that's not how I was trained. You weren't trained anyway except pay it all off and keep your promises. That's really what you were trained for. Not don't get obnoxious amounts of credit. It's don't get in trouble. That's what we were trained. And if you've got one of those habits where you're a spender, I might be related to some of those people. I'm not saying it's my wife. I'm just saying I might be related to some people. It's actually not her. If you've got a problem with that, how did I show you how to solve that? By paying it to a dollar every Friday. You're treating your credit card like a debit card and getting rewards. Is that a good deal? Yes. Because debit cards give you no value on your credit report. But credit cards do. So pay it to 0, pay it to a dollar every Friday, and you treat your credit card like a debit card. And I'll keep you out of trouble. Yes, Jim?
What about putting your children, adult or 18-year-old children, not minor?
What about putting your children on your card accounts?
On your credit card, does it hurt your score?
Does it help or hurt your score?
Probably
my kids hurt.
Yeah. So you think it hurts? They're on their own?
It helps the kids.
It helps the kids. That's the answer. Did I pay you already? That's the correct answer. It helps your kids.
That's one over.
American Express lets you put 13-year-olds on your account. If you can believe 13 is the earliest. No, no, you want to teach them early. In America, this is how it works. You've got to understand the credit system. You know, when you apply for car insurance, they look at your credit. That LexisNexis, they will pull that and see your credit, how you pay your bills, and you're going to get a letter in the mail that says underwriting action, and you're not going to know what that means, except you've been in here now. Underwriting action means we looked at your credit and gave you a premium rate based on looking at your credit. Everything you do, all the jobs you have, everything in this world today is based on your credit. Yes, Ihor.
If you want a credit card for your child, go to Home Depot.
Okay. Well, I would disagree with that, but he says get a card at Home Depot. Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover. All right, we're getting off. Let me make sure I move ahead. Let's hold the questions for a moment. I've got some banking secrets for you. Let's go quick. Ask your question. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for kids and as authorized users on your account, at what age do you have to be working out as their?
Depends on your age of majority in your state as to when the kids come off on their own. What's the question? Kim and Brian. Kim, you got a question?
I do. Bill and I have 4 credit cards. He's the primary. I'm on the card.
Get your own. Question on far back.
Her business credit card. Does it matter to have it with the credit bureau, like with the Amex Discover,
So do business cards report on your credit? Some do, some don't. Okay, so we're getting in the weeds on this. So let me make sure I cover, because I haven't told you how to borrow obnoxious amounts of money from the bank yet, have I? We're getting in the weeds on credit cards. Is it okay if I move on?
Yes.
Am I free to answer any of these questions in the hall the next 3 days?
Yes.
Yes. Come ask me. I'm happy to answer all that. No problem. Okay, banking secrets. Here's how banks work. There's one dirty little truth about banks. You want to know what it is? They hate to be paid off. They want to be paid on time, but they hate to be paid off. Why?
And they got to relend it.
Banks live on interest income, and then they got to go relend that money to a new customer. That's annoying. Your whole entire income is based on interest payments, and somebody came in and gave you a big wad of money and paid you off? They hate that. That's not what we were taught, right? Pay everybody off early. Okay. But for banks, they don't want this. They want you to owe them continually forever till you die and pay them off when you're dead. Do you understand that? They want interest payments on time every month. Bankers go to banker school to learn how to be bankers. They're taught the 4 C's. Now, there's 2 different versions of the 4 C's. This is one. The credit is, they pull your credit and see, Ed, do you keep your promises? Linda, do you keep your promises? That's the C, the first one. Collateral, will the deal support the amount of credit being asked for? So for your meanie's house, you borrowed some money, you raised some money, they want to know, does the deal look good? You put it on a piece of paper, you showed the pro forma, here's what we do, we help old people, we give them a place to live, we take care of them, we feed them, we hire the staff, look at all this, we got a building proposed. Do you know what you're doing?
Will it pay for itself?
Exactly. So then character relates to this next, because they want to know, oh, so you're running some sort of a business here, and do you actually know what you're doing? Have you done this before, or are you brand new? Now, if I come in there and said I'm running a residential assisted living, they'd look at me a little, what's your background in that? I do single family houses for 20 years. But I'm working with Mark Hutton. Oh, how long has he been doing it? A while. Oh, okay. So my character just went up in that case because I've got a background and experience in that. So what if you're super new to investing and you've got none of that? Well, I got a plan for that. But part of it is, how have you handled your other bills? How have you handled your other credit cards? How have you handled your Home Depot? Have you done anything personally in the past? They'll look at that, and that's building the character. Then capacity is, do you have the income on your tax return to cover what we're about to loan you? Is all this reasonable? Sure. Now, there are other 4 C's, and it's not relevant for this conversation, but this bottom line is, Bankers are taught a non-discriminatory check-the-box process to see if you can keep your promises. The four things that show financial sincerity and save on taxes. You want to know what they are?
Yes.
Come on, I'm feeling the lull in the room. You want to know what they are?
Yes.
Get a real estate bank account. You've heard of separation of church and state? Business, personal. Get a real estate bank account. Put $5,000 in it if you're new. Start that as your initial capital. Get a real estate card. It can be a personal card, a business card, but have one card designated for real estate. Why? Because you forget that that's a deductible business expense. But I get points over here. Yeah, you got to keep up with it. It's kind of a pain. I say get a real estate bank account and a real estate card, because otherwise you'll get confused. You know how I know?
Because
I got confused. And 3 years from now, you think you're going to remember what you did?
No.
3 days ago, do you remember what you did? No! You're busy thinking up other stuff. Mileage log, digital or a paper one, either one. There are 67 cents for every business mile you drive on the table. Do not leave money on the table. I get one of those. They're now $6. And I have one right over my visor, and I'm so lazy I even keep a pen in there. Open. I don't even have to click it. I just have to pull it out right to the page, right on there, the date, the purpose, the starting mileage, and probably the ending mileage from the last trip, because I only do it typically once. And then I put it in there, and it's done. And it took me about that long as I just described it to you. How long was that? 20 seconds. Can you do that to get 67 cents for every mile you drive?
Yes.
Great.
Don't lose the money. And there's apps, too, for that. I like paper because I'll forget to hit a button. I'm busy. I'm on the phone. Paper works for me. That's my habit. Like doing it on Friday, Lori. It's just my habit. I get into habits. Never, ever say your business is a hobby, because the IRS says what about hobbies? Cannot deduct hobbies. You want to deduct expenses, don't you?
Yes.
You want to deduct expenses, don't you?
Yes.
Not for a hobby. So all of this says you act like a
business.
Perfect. Now, some people ask about reserves, and my wife calls it feel-good money. She just feels good knowing it's there. Who relates to that? Yeah, some feel-good money. So how much should we have? What's the answer?
What makes you feel good?
What makes you feel good? 2 months. 6 months. Do I hear 12? What about 24? Why should we have reserves?
Because
life happens. Stuff happens. Surprise happens. When someone looks at your financials and they see you have reserves, does that say you plan ahead? Does that say when you make a promise to them, you can probably keep it? That's why you have reserves. You demonstrate to lenders you could keep your promises. You plan ahead, you think, and you're not just flying by the seat of your pants. In fact, mine got me one of the best financing deals ever. I had built a relationship with a banker, and one day I was in there, because I make up reasons to go into the bank, and you should too, and I said, hey, Jody, how's it going? There's a guy named Jody. Jody, how's it going? Actually, he came out of his office and talked to me a little bit, and he said, what are you doing for lunch next Tuesday? What's the correct answer when a banker says, what are you doing for lunch next Tuesday?
Nothing.
I'd love to go to lunch with you. What, is it the free meal?
No.
They're showing interest in you. Is that good for you?
Yeah.
No, that's great for you. Go to lunch. Now, I'll try to pay, but that's another conversation. But if they offer to pay, you know, I don't have that's not the point here. Your banker's showing interest in you. Is that good for you?
Yes.
Is anybody that has money that shows interest in you good for you?
Yes.
Yes. We went to lunch. He asked me several questions, which were, remember the four C's up here, the character, capacity. Do you think this guy who'd been a banker for 30-some years knew what question to ask me to find out who I was and what my background was and what my probable credit was? Yes, he did. I've been in the credit industry 30 years, in the credit card side. I can ask you 6 questions, and I can peg pretty closely what your credit score is based on your answer to those 6 questions. Is that creepy? No, it's called I Know My Business. Do you think these bankers know their business?
Yes,
they do. They go to banker school and they're taught by their peers. And if they're not sure about something, who do they go ask?
Credit
Bureau. No, they go ask their buddy in the next cubicle. Hey, how's it going? I got this crazy guy, Robert, man. He came in here with no shoes on. Do you know him? They also go to the tellers sometimes and ask if they know you. Did you know that? You went in there with that ratty t-shirt last week to cash a check? They all know who you are. They all talk. Can that be good for you?
Yes.
No, that can be great for you because you can use it to your advantage. Do you see that? It's all part of the process. So the deal. We went to lunch. At the end of the lunch, we came back, and something came out in the lunch that I needed a personal mortgage. He said, oh, let me introduce you to somebody. And he gave me the most glowing review. I pretty much walked on water the way this guy explained me to his colleague who cleared her schedule and said, I can see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. What do you think I said? I'll be there. So I went home and prepped for what I knew they needed. And I'll talk to you about that in a second so you know. And I showed up ready to go. And I applied for that, and 38 days later, we moved into that house with a full mortgage done. And that was when it was 75 days to get a mortgage. Was that good?
Yes.
Did the bank just make that awesome happen?
Yes.
Yeah, and who else made it happen?
You.
Me, because I came to play. I'm serious. So he saw that, he made it happen, and man, no fees, no points, cheap. Oh, 3.5%. I wish I hadn't paid that off some days. But I did it for other reasons. It all has to do with your attitude and posture with bankers. Now, if you're not sure about how to do that, I'm going to model that now with this form method. Is anybody here shy about going to talk to a banker? Is anybody shy? Are you willing to come up here and let me show you how to do it? Like right now? Okay, so this is family, occupation, recreation, message. This is the form method. Chris, if you want to shoot a video, this would probably be a good one. Quentin? Oh, I love that. That's a great name. Hey, Quentin. Okay, so I'm going to have Quentin be the banker. So I'm going to talk to him a little bit about his family, a little bit about his job, a little bit about what he does for fun, and then the message at the end. Okay, it's called the form method. If you had any sales training, you probably have heard of this. Multi-levels teach this too. It's not new. I didn't think it up. I stole it. The best ideas are someone else's, aren't they? So, Quentin's in right here. So, Quentin's the banker. Come over here and get out of that bright light. Okay. Quentin's the banker. So just play along. I'll make it easy. Hey, Quentin, I'm Robert. How you doing?
Nice to meet you, Robert.
Okay, so, said hello, family. Hey, Quentin, is that your wife and kid there?
Sure is.
Excellent. How long have you been married?
Oh, 35 years.
35 years. Wow. Great. And the child looks like about a six-year-old?
No, they're older than that.
Older than that now?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. So I asked some questions about his family. I showed some interest in?
Yeah.
Right. And here comes occupation. Well, Quentin, how long have you been working here at the bank? Make up a number.
28 years.
28 years. Wow. I bet you've seen a whole lot in your time.
Oh, I have.
Yeah. Now, if you know anything deeper, like Steve, back here in the back. Steve, I know you've been a past credit underwriter. I might throw out some terms like AML or KYC if you know that. If you don't, watch out. Otherwise, we're just going to have a light conversation about Steve's job. Can you relate to someone else in their job? Because there's been a whole lot of changes in a lot of jobs, haven't there? Wow, how's AI affecting your business? That's a good one. And see what he says. Now, recreation. Well, Steve, I see that ginormous fish up there on the wall. It looks like you really love bass fishing.
I do.
Because will Steve have stuff on his wall about his fun? What he does for fun? Yeah, hockey sticks, something. And so we'll talk about that for a little bit. Is that hard to do?
No.
Is this just friendly, easy? This is easier than Thanksgiving dinner is going to be with your family, right?
Probably.
Probably, exactly. And then here comes the message. Quentin, I'm a real estate investor. I buy single family houses to buy and hold, and I fix them up and put tenants in there, and then I get them leased up. And I have a professional property manager. I don't do it myself anymore because, well, I just don't. I couldn't handle that. That wasn't for me. But is that something your bank would finance as far as cashing it out once I bring you a fully signed lease in here with tenants in there? Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Now, you could also say no. Have banks ever told you no?
Yes.
Why might they tell you no?
It's not for them.
But you just went through all this with him. I made friends with Quentin. What? What? Did I just waste my time?
No.
No, what? I didn't waste my time? No, because Quentin helped me on the next one that's really going to be my deal. So, Quentin, does he deserve to get paid for what he's been through?
Yes.
Does Forum work?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Quentin. And Quentin, by the way, he's been working at a bank 28 years. He's got unlimited money. Feel free to talk to him. He's sitting in the back. All right. The truth is bankers are humans too. They're just like us. They have the interests we have, the concerns, the fears that we have. They're just humans too. That usually brings a laugh or a snicker. Bankers are humans too? Okay. The five things every investor should know about banking. You should expect to have 3 to 5 banking relationships over the next few years. Some people have told me, oh, I just have one bank. Where'd you learn that? Did I mention 4,453 banks? Go from 3 to 5. So I told you how to meet the Quentins, F-O-R-M. Go find some of those. You may find that banking out of state is a good play. Some banks want to grow their footprint in your area. Now, we're in Ohio here, so there are some banks in Kentucky that want to bank in Ohio. There are some Indiana banks that want to do business in Ohio. You've got 3 states right here. But you know what? This is my friend Ed up here. I actually bank in his town. And Ed, where do you live? Not in Tennessee, right?
People's Paradise.
Uh-huh. One of my banks is in his town. I bank in other places because it works for my goals. And one of the things that my wife likes is that feel-good money. Some people call it the war chest. Maybe I might use Ed's hometown bank for some of my war chest. Not my trash bank account. Keep them separate. Keep your job as long as you can stand it, because it makes you so more bankable. It's so easy to get money when you got a job or something you've done for more than 2 years. Remember that question I asked you in the beginning? How many of you have done this for 2 years or more? It's so much easier because they see you're established in your trader business. Fund that retirement. That shows you're thinking ahead. That shows you're going to keep your promises to yourself and your family in the future. They love seeing that you have retirement. And pay some taxes. Now, I know certain people named Peter here, and they tell you don't pay taxes. Well, I can tell you paying some taxes helps you with the bankers. And the one supremely important thing you absolutely must do to protect yourself from banks, and no banker ever wants you to find out. You want to know what it is?
Yes.
This is your deposit account agreement that you didn't read when you opened your account. You want to know what it says on page 19 of 44 that you didn't read? You got a barf bag? Because here it comes. Further, we reserve the right to suspend or freeze the funds in your account or any other account you maintain with us if we believe your account may be subject to unauthorized, irregular, illegal, or fraudulent activity. Is that open, vague, and...
Yes.
We may provide you notice as soon as reasonably possible. What's that? However, we reserve the right to not provide such notice if we believe that such notice could result in a security risk to the owner of the funds, the account, or to us. What? They are couriers of your money, and you agreed to it. Oh, it's worse. You signed an unlimited personal guarantee. Did you read it? The bank may declare the indebtedness of the undersigned, which is, this was me, or you, or whoever. And by the way, this is standard bank paperwork. You all sign all this. The bank may declare the indebtedness of the undersigned or the indebtedness guaranteed by the undersigned immediately due and payable. Is that scary?
Yeah.
No, it's not. I got a war chest. Come at me. Send me a 30-day letter. I dare you. I'll pay you off so fast. It's okay. Because you need to just be aware of this for this right here. This is the advice on the screen. Maybe don't have all your money at the bank that you owe a lot of money to. Maybe have 1 or 2 lending banks and 1 or 2 savings banks. That way, if they trigger this because something unfortunate happens to them or to you, all your war chest isn't at risk. Is that a really good tip?
Yeah.
Does the bank really not want you to know that because they want all your business at their bank? Yes, they do. But now that you know how it works, can you use it to your advantage?
Yes.
Yes. Now the line of credit, let me hold the questions. I'm watching my time here. Let me hold the questions. The line of credit, I love lines of credit. It can be great for you, but it can stink for your banker. Can we tell you how?
Yes.
Is your line of credit out right now? No. How much is your banker making on you?
No.
How does your banker live?
Interest payments.
So does it stink for your banker that you got a line of credit? Yeah, but they got to reserve a bunch of money off for that line of credit, don't they? It's good for you because you know you got it. It stinks for your banker. What's a way to deal with that? Borrow some money off on it from time to time. Let them make a little on you. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a cost of doing business and it's fully deductible. I'm not giving tax advice. I'm not a CPA. Go get your own counsel. You've been disclaimed. Remember all that? But if it's for business, it's probably likely deductible. Bankers have different rules for their lines of credit. Some want them to be run up and paid off in a certain amount of time. Some want them to be used with different frequencies, and there are three different ways. It doesn't really matter right now, but ask your banker what they want for their rules with their lines of credit with you, what they want you to do. Find that out, make a note. Every one of the ones I have all behaves differently. So I learn what their rules are and I follow them. Is that fair? If you're going to play the game of tennis, do you need to know what the rules are and where the line is?
Yes.
They're asleep, Jim. It's just me and you. If you're going to play the game, does it help to know the rules?
Yes.
Yes. Because what do banks care about?
Interest.
Interest payments. And you keeping your?
Promise.
Excellent. So there's a dirty but awesome secret of how banks work and how you can take total legal advantage of it. Who'd want to know that?
Yes.
Oh, a couple folks. Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right. Jim here is at Bank One. Jim's going to make Sean a loan. What does Jim give to Sean? Does he give him a bag of money when the loan is ready? Does he literally give him a bag of cash? No. What does he give him?
A check.
A check. Sean gets a check. Sean takes it to the Bank of John. This is a different bank than this bank. He takes the check to John. What does John do?
Deposit it.
Deposits the check. John's allowed to multiply that by 9 and then allowed to loan it to Leonard. What? He gets to multiply it by 9? Yes, he does. So he loans a bigger amount to Leonard. Does he hand Leonard a big bag of cash?
No.
What's he hand him?
Check.
A check. Leonard. Leonard, what do you do with that check? You take it to David, Bank of David over here, and you do what to the check? Can it be a wire? Does it really matter? It's the point is the money moves around. You getting that? So you deposit the Bank of David. The Bank of David's allowed to multiply by 9 and go and loan it out again. Is that amazing?
Yes.
No, that's fantastic. This is how money is made in this country. So what would kill that? Paying off the loans. So remember, what do I say banks live on?
Interest.
So what does a banker want to do? Loan money. Banks want to loan money as badly as you want oxygen. What should you do Monday?
Ask for it.
Give a banker some CPR. Go see it Monday and ask for their money because they're dying to give it to you. I kid you not. This is how they stay in business, is they make loans. Do you need money?
Yes.
Are you going to keep your promises?
Yes.
Then what's stopping you from going to talk to the bank? I showed you form. Can you do it?
Yes.
Good. Now some borrowing secrets. There are 5 things. Rebecca? Rebecca Cicada? Can we give the handout now, please? So you're going to be given a handout. I'm going to go a couple slides, and then we're going to talk about the handout. There are 5 things to make you irresistible to lenders. You want to know what they are?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Come on, we're in that final stretch. Are you sure?
Yes.
Pay your taxes on time. Yes, I've heard about extensions till October and all this stuff. Uh-uh. Pay them on time. Remember we talked about identity fraud? That is a huge risk for you right now. If you have any kind of amount of taxes that you owe, and you're paying in quarterly estimated taxes, someone who's a fraudster could go and file for a refund on your social before you file and get your money as a refund, and you've got to sort it out with the IRS. Do you know how much pain that is? It's about a year of headache for you. File on time. What does that tell the banker if you file on time? You can meet a deadline, and you don't ask for excuses or a little note from your mom or extension or whatever. Does that send a message?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Watch this. So when are taxes due? April 15, April 18, whatever. So I give explicit instructions to my CPA that I want mine on time, and he does it. So I get mine about April 10th or 11th or whatever, but I know the day before I'm going to go tomorrow and pick them up, right? Don't you get told the day before? I call all my banks, and I say, hey, this is Robert. I'm getting my taxes tomorrow. You want a copy, don't you? Do you know who else does that? Nobody. And the first time you do this, you need to keep calling until you get them live on the phone, because if you leave that voicemail, they will have a heart attack. They will not believe it. They won't even know who it is. Get them live on the phone. Now, mine have learned to expect that from me, but do yours even know who you are? No. What do they know me as? That dude who calls and brings in his tax returns the day it's due. I keep my... I go see these bankers every 90 days. Make up a reason to go in there. This is my banker uniform. This I dressed, yes, to respect the audience, but this is what I wear. Used to, I would wear a tie, but who's worn ties since the pandemic? We just don't even do it. I think I've forgotten how to tie one. But this is what I wear. Are these nice shoes, nice pants? The belt matches? How do I make sure all of it matches? That's correct. That's correct. In fact, I texted last night, what should I wear today? I'll make sure I got it right, because I got several different things. That's just not what I think about. I'm thinking about the $500,000 unsecured line I'm working on right now. Who would like another $500,000 unsecured? Oh, are you sure? Because I just got $1 million 30 days ago. Oh, I'm talking about another. Because I just got $1 million 30 days ago. Would you like that too?
Sure.
Can you do something with $1.5 million?
Sure.
Are you sure?
Yes.
A few people care about this. Does that not excite you?
Yes.
Look at this. I can go and get this. Do you think you can do it too?
Yes.
Look, Chad, if Robert can do it, Chad can do it. I'm sure. Am I right?
Yes.
It's good to meet your wife, by the way. I'm glad you brought her. Way to go. Every 90 days, make up a reason to go in there and come up with something. Did you see that? I'm trying to connect with you all. Do you see that? I'm just being a human. The bankers are humans too. I'll go in and I'll get $2 bills at the bank. I'll cash a check at the bank. Can I do snappy check and deposit?
Yes.
Yes. Is that a wasted opportunity?
Yes.
Yes. I go into the bank. Because remember, the people on the teller side also talk to the people on the carpet side. There's two sides to the bank, the teller side and the carpet side. The carpet side is where we borrow money. The teller side is where we deposit and withdraw money. Do they all talk and know each other? Because they all use the same break room in the back. Yes, they do. Go inside. Don't do the drive-through. Let them see you. Plan on 15 or 20 minutes. Don't be rushed. I'm never rushed. I go in, I take their pen, or I give them my pen, or we chit-chat, or I wear their hat if I've got their bank's hat. Whatever. I'm a good customer. I'm a nice guy. Don't you want to give me more money when I ask for it? Yes, I give you every reason to think I'm going to keep my promises. The last one there stands for personal financial statement. If you've ever borrowed money from a bank's going to ask you to provide a personal financial statement. Look at this. I've got it in a plastic thing here, but this is 3 pages. Trust me, it's long and ugly like this first page. Do you want to fill this out? You know how long it takes? What if I showed you how to have it in your coat pocket, and when you went to the bank and it came up in conversation that you had an updated one, you could just hand it to the banker. Who would like that?
Sure.
Ah, in fact, I do that. When I go in and I know it's about time to give one, or it's a newer banker and it's a second meeting, I'll have mine done, signed in blue ink, because all these have to be signed, but I have my own. Do you know I have my own? Because it works at every bank. You know how much time I save with that? Hours. Now, the 15 pounds that helps me borrow so much money is what I call my credibility package. This is all the info that I put in mine. I have it in a binder, table of contents, I have tabs, really nice heavy paper, so heavy it doesn't really weigh 15 pounds, but it feels like it does. And the reason I did it was my banker once told me that they have a scale in the back where they take all applications and paperwork and they put it on the scale, and if it doesn't weigh enough, they don't approve it. And I said,
"What?
Are you serious?" Well, you never know with a bank. I mean, you know, you don't say certain words in a bank. You can think of what they are. There's just, it's a different world in a bank. I said, "Are you serious?" He says, "No, I'm just kidding. But if your package is too light, we will decline you." I don't mean if it doesn't have enough stuff. So this is what I put in mine. Stuff about me, my name, my contact info, my financial statement, signed and dated in blue ink. I have three copies, one with me only, one with my spouse only, one with me and my spouse both together. Why? Because I'm the one taking out the money, not her. I'm the risky spouse, she's the safe spouse. Church and state, separate credit, Joint Card Act of 2009. Remember all that? It all plays into this. I have info about me, like a resume. I have a borrower business and investment guidance plan. I'm telling the banker what I'm actually here to do. I have insurance agent contact info. Info about my entity, the Secretary of State registration, the annual report form, the bylaws, profit and loss, balance sheet, tax returns for the last 2 years. And then I say, if you need a third year, I'll be happy to provide it. What does that tell them? Yeah. I keep my promises. And it comes out on heavy paper too. How big are your tax returns? That alone weighs it down. And give them all of it, even those extra schedules in the back. On heavy paper, 15 pounds, man. And they throw it on the scale, it's gonna be heavy. And it's gonna say $5 million. Do you know why I know this is $5 million? Because that's what I borrowed in the last year. $5 million. Would you like to borrow $5 million?
Yes.
12 people, really? Anybody else want to borrow $5 million?
Yes.
Would a million be sufficient?
Yes.
Okay. About my project, the address, the type of property, the HUD-1, the cashier's check where I bought it, an affidavit of land trust, because I use those, public records property report, insurance declaration page, the typical repair scope of work, which is 8 pages by itself, a lien release if I had any other loans on it in the past, a sample marketing flyer of how I plan to dispose of the property, what is my exit plan, property management agreement, because I do use personal, professional property management. How many pages is that? Enough to help weigh down that package. I put it all in there. Property management income and expense report. That's 12 pages. Photos before and after. Now, could I put all this on a jump drive?
Yes.
Yep. Why would I not want to do that? Where's a jump drive going to go?
In a drawer.
In a drawer with all the other jump drives. My banker that gave me a $3.25 million line of credit has 30 files on his desk at any given time. Where's that jump drive going to go? But if I give him a binder that sits on his desk in that pile of 30, is he going to look at my binder? Yeah. And he knows I'm easy to deal with because I got tabs, a table of contents, and everything all there neat together. He doesn't have to call me and ask for anything. Is he going to work my file first?
Yes.
Can we teach how to do that?
Yes.
Okay. So has this been good stuff?
Yes.
Does everybody have the handout?
Yes.
We're going to talk about that. Would you agree that these strategies we've talked about look like they could get you lines of credit and money from banks and mortgages? You think this will work?
Yes.
Think this will get you funding?
Yes.
So you want to know how I borrowed $5 million in that last 12 months so you can do it too?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I have templates, forms, and a guidebook to show you how to borrow that. Who would want it? If I had it right here in my hand right now to hand out, who'd want it? Okay, good. So this resonates with you.
Yes.
Good. I call it the bank borrowing blueprint. This is a picture of that bio. I don't really want to call it a CV or a resume because I have extra stuff in there that pertains to what banks want to know. And the great thing is that's my daughter right there, and I paid her a modeling fee for my company. Does that help her out?
Yes.
Is that a good tax tip? Well, I'm not giving any tax advice, but is that a good tip to have your kids be part of your thing? So change the picture. Don't put my daughter on your bio. Change it, please. And don't leave it your name and your 123 address. Change it. I've got templates for you. It's in Word or it's in Excel. So that makes it easy for you to change it and put Chad Warren at the top in your real address. And please don't use a dumb email address. The one in high school when it was funny to get something ridiculous. Get a serious email. Can you all do that? Yeah. These are the pages right here is the table of contents. Each section has what's in it. It's to remind me of what to put in that section so I don't forget, and it's for the banker. The tabs, the table of contents, really, other than reminding me as a checklist, aren't for me. It's for my banker who's got how many files on his desk? 30. He can look at mine and find anything he wants quick. His underwriter asks him, where's that deck page for that insurance? He can go right here and pull it up and look at it. Does that make it easy to do business with me? Yes. Fall off a log easy. Does he love this? Yes. I'm only talking about one banker. I've got several. They all love this. Are any of you this organized with your package?
No.
Why not? Because you never thought of it. The best ideas are what? Someone else's. Steal it. The blueprint includes the personal financial statement auto builder. Man, this is my gold coin right here. In 10 minutes, I can update mine with my current expenses, income, and I am ready to hit print and take it to the bank. 10 minutes. So once you get it in there the first time, your accounts, your assets, your liabilities, hit print, take it to the bank. Wow, time saver. So this is assets, cash on hand, non-retirement accounts, IRAs, real estate owned. There are 9 other categories. And the reason there are 9 is so you don't forget something, because assets make you look better to a bank. You do not want to forget assets, do you?
No.
So I've got samples in here so you don't forget. And as you add that private placement, you've got a place for it. Liabilities. Have you ever wanted one consolidated single place for all your stuff was that you owed? You know you need to do that estate plan, don't you?
Yes.
What if your dad, your mom, your brother, your sister, your kid, your niece, your nephew had to deal with your affairs if something unfortunate happened to you? What would they do? Is it a disaster? Your blueprint has it. Put it all in here. In fact, I print mine once a year and stick it in my estate planning documents. Is that alone worth the price of admission just to hear that idea? It's all together right there. How much time will that save you? Oh, it saves me a ton of time. This is your incomes. How many different incomes do you have? And a side effect of this is they're all taxed at different rates. This might help you if you manage your income too. So if you like to track it monthly, you can track it monthly or annually, whatever works for you. It'll support both those ways. Is that cool? Does that save time? You bet. So these are your expenses. Now, personals in the top section, businesses in the bottom, and they're already broken down to the tax categories. You know the Schedule C, the Schedule E, all those other categories? Where's that stuff go and you got to figure it out? It's already here to help you track it. So at tax time, how much time did you save? Quite a bit. It's already there for you. And then this is the output, your personal financial statement. Now, I've given you a short version here. There's a couple other things down here. But this is what the banks look for. Well, somewhere I had it up here. That financial statement, that big grid, doesn't this look a whole lot cleaner?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks a whole lot cleaner. And right here, you can see your net worth. Does anybody like to keep scores, though this might be a game? So I run mine every month because it's easy, and I change the date. So it's PFS and today's date. Is that easy?
Yes.
Okay, and then next month, what's the first thing I do? Because these auto-save, you know how Word does that now. So, change the date, update it, hit print, blue ink, take it to the bank. Done. 10 minutes. Can you do that?
Yes.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
So every month I do that. And then at the end of the year, I keep what's called a milestone. And the milestone gets printed and put with the estate planning document. That'll be December. Because December works for me. Like Friday, it just works for me. I understand December. The blueprint helps me keep my financial life in order if we're going to buy a car, if we're going to buy another property, if we need to add something or delete something that's financial. I don't do anything until I talk to the document. It's helped us make great financial decisions. It helps us keep on track with our retirement. And I instantly know where I stand. Yes, I use QuickBooks. I've got 4 companies in QuickBooks. How do you merge all that together? Man, it's so much easier at tax time because it's all together and I can see it. Personal, business, everything, all in one place. That alone has been huge for me, a big time saver. So what you get, the Ultimate Credibility Package template, the Auto Builder template. I've got a training video with all the details on how to use it. It'll walk you right through it step by step. I've written a home study course guide in plain English with enough white space so it's not going to hurt you to look at it. And it'll cover some of what we talked about today and go into more detail on all these issues. So you make sure when you go in to Quentin and talk to him that first time, you're armed and ready. Let me rephrase that. You're going into a bank. Don't be armed and ready. You're prepared. You're prepared. Please don't be armed and ready in the bank. Didn't really think that through and that rolled out, did I? If you take action today, I'll throw in a bunch of other bonuses. Who likes free stuff? Well, I've already paid you off. Who likes more free stuff? All right. First, 6 months of group coaching calls. These are live. We don't record this because one of us, you or me, might say something we don't want recorded. I'm not saying we're barking out socials, but sometimes you're going to have questions about refinements that you need for your package. This will, the purpose of that, we'll talk about it. I will give you up to 1 hour of my personal time to review your package. I've been doing this 20 years. Would my advice on your credibility package maybe be useful to you?
Yes.
Well, I hope you say yes. I had several mentors over the years that made a huge difference for me, and having someone guide you that's already been down the path just saved me so much time. So that's why I put that in there. If you need some help, I've had people over the years tell me, I just need someone to look at this for a minute. Well, it'll be more, but that's what that's for, to make sure you are prepared when you walk into the bank, not armed and ready. I'll also include how I pick a bank and how I pick a line of credit. Those are my analyzers. The Ultimate Bank Account Analyzer has all the questions to ask when you're thinking about opening up a bank account. All the fees, all the gotchas. Some of these banks have gotchas. Well, you've got to log in every 6 months or else we're going to call your account dormant and charge you a $10 monthly fee. Well, I didn't know to ask that because I didn't read the agreement, did I? Page 19 of 44? I got the question in there so you know to ask it. Same with the line of credit. So the HELOC is home equity line of credit, and it's good for any line of credit. And I also have, and it's not on there, but it's another bonus of several of you ask about credit cards. There's a couple of points on credit cards, too, and how to pick a credit card. I'll also include my Growing Your Business checklist that includes the tools and the team members you need to have to make sure you grow your business so you don't forget something. And credit score must knows, how to get your credit report and your score for free, and I mean your real actual FICO score, not the FACO score that's on your phone apps for your credit cards. Seriously, that is a score, that's not the score. So I'll show you how to get that. Did I mention the free part? You don't have to pay anybody for this. I'm gonna show you how to go get it free. And then we have a Facebook group where we share tips and tricks. Does that have a lot of value to you?
Yeah.
All these 12 things that should be on your sheet in front of you. You get all this. Normally it's $5.97. Do you want a discount?
Yeah.
Ehor, do you want a discount? How's $297 sound? I'll give you all of this for $297. You can see Rebecca in the back. Say, hey, Rebecca. There's Rebecca back there. Or you can scan that QR code if that works for you. So what do you think? Did you get what you expected?
Yes.
All right. Do we have any other questions? I've got a couple of minutes left. You just want to go ahead and end and ask your question privately to me? Would that work for you? Why don't we do that? That way, if any of you guys need to go ahead and get up, we'll do it. But we got a couple minutes left. So come on up. I'll answer your questions. And thank you all. I guess I better get my cash and put it up, huh?
I got it yesterday.
Okay. Excellent.
But anyway, my question to you is this, is that when, keeping everything at the same bank, you know how they basically want you to keep everything, you know.
Sure they do. They want you to keep all your money at their bank, and I explicitly told you why you don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
Risky for you.
Risky, but they do promote that.
Sure they promote it. Yeah. Wouldn't you? You want your customer to do all their business with you, absolutely. But you're not going to do it because you know better now.
I have a couple accounts with different banks.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the way to go.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. Because basically they were kind of.
They'll mess with you.
I just noticed it affected.
Yeah, they'll mess with you.
My personal business, whatever. If I had it, had something at my one bank.
Well, good. Excellent. I look forward to seeing you on the Zooms. Igor, you got a question?
No, it's the reason I mentioned the Home Depot because I added my son Home Depot, and they actually reported on his credit score, and he's only 3 years old.
Is it a Visa card or is it a store card? Oh, yeah, they will report on your store card. You can.
Yeah. So that's kind of like...
But he needs to get a real card, like a Visa, MasterCard, Amex, definitely.
But I just kind of like was surprised that they actually opened it. He's only 3, right?
Oh, he's 3?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, so
I forgot. Yeah, the little guy that's here?
So he has a Home Depot credit card.
So a 3-year-old has a Home Depot card.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was... I missed that part. That's gold. All right. Hey, Ty, you got a question?
Yes, sir. How well does your PFS auto builder work with multiple entities where you own a part of the entity? Seems like when I did...
It's garbage in, garbage out. So whatever you put into it, it'll all filter in. And they're going to ask you for every entity.
All right.
So for me, they always ask me to have it all together. And then they ask for tax returns because they will take your tax returns for each entity and they will break that out their way. And every bank does it differently. So if you give them a global financial statement, they love that because they're going to run a global on you too. So that gives you the global picture.
What seems
picture.
Quirky when I'm doing manually is the fact that I'm, you know, half of the...
So you'll put that in there that you only own a half interest. And so you'll mark that down 50%. So you'll assign it a value, say if it's a $100,000 value, then you'll mark that down by 50% and say $50,000. And then if they ask you to disclose what it is, you'll happily do that, right? Yes. So you'll happily disclose that 50% interest. Because I have private placement interest in different types of businesses. Well, I only own 0.6667% of one. So I disclose my interest and the value according to my last K-1. And that's what you do, too.
Appreciate it.
Sure, sure. You're welcome. I don't know who is next. I'm sorry.
The presentation's great.
Thank you.
A lot. You're really good. Zelle, is that a terrible way to pay and to manage bank transactions? I just read so much about fraud and difficulty. So I don't know if that's it's an easy way to work. Okay? It may not be.
So is Zelle a good use of... payments.
Pay people.
It's just that's a question of personal preference.
Okay, so not
I think.
Inherently riskier, fraudier.
I think several banks would tell you it's.
I've seen those coming out from the banks, and that's why I'm worried about it.
I think if you feel good about it, and you know, I would just always watch. It's like asking. I think the question is more like asking: is a wire safe or not? Well, it depends. Did you do your due diligence on the receiver and the sender both? Like anything else. Like if I wrote you a check, did I do due diligence on you, the painter? That what's your data security policy? You're going to take a picture and throw it away in the trash can at MAPCO. I'll have to assume you will. So I give you a trash bank account check. Yeah. So I would just say, always be careful. Always verify all your transactions.
Bad note on credit card payment or like a Verizon bill or something
so
like that.
So if you have a late pay on a bill, how do you challenge it? So when you pull your credit, as you should do once a year, you can dispute it. So just follow the process and they'll walk you right through it. You can do it online usually, or you can do it in writing, your choice. Easily done. Easily done. And don't not dispute it. It's a few minutes, just do it. And within 30 days, they will have to give you a response. Either it's valid or it's not. And if it's not valid and they can't prove it, the 30 days goes away, it's gone. So always dispute. If it's disputable, I'll always dispute it.
Just a quick one, Rob. You mentioned about the credit card not paying to zero. You're paying to a dollar or something?
Yes. So they report $1. If you report it to, if you pay it to zero, some of these credit card companies don't actually report you at all as having used the card in the month.
So if I owe like $500.50, you're saying
pay $4.99 and 50 cents.
Sorry?